Well, congregation, the sermon which I am privileged to bring to you tonight is entitled A Blessed Person. We'll get to that in a moment. Yeah. In the passage from Luke 14, Jesus tells this parable of a great banquet to which many guests are invited. Now, you know that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So we can understand the man in Jesus' parable who prepared the banquet to be God the Father. And the banquet represents the feast in the kingdom of God. Now, in response to what Jesus has been saying, one guest at the Pharisee's table says, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And of course he was telling the truth. Anyone who gets to eat at the feast in the kingdom of God will be truly blessed. That person will receive his reward at the resurrection of the righteous. But this feast could also be understood as the celebration of the wedding of God's Son to his bride, the church, as described in the passage from Revelation that Edward read a moment ago. An angel was also speaking the truth when he said, "Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And so, people of God, here we are, here we have two verses that together form the text for this sermon. They are two true statements that relate to the Lord's Supper, which we celebrated already this morning. And this, because the supper, you see, is a foretaste of the very banquet mentioned in both Bible verses. But these two true statements stand in tension with each other. On the one hand, a blessed person is one who is invited to the wedding supper. On the other hand, a blessed person is the one who actually gets to eat at the kingdom feast. So the tension is between those who are invited and those who get to eat. And so the lesson contained in the parable is, be careful what you do with your invitation, or you may find that you're not included with those who actually get to eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. And so let's look at this in two points. One, you are blessed to be invited to the feast. Yes, indeed, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. That's the words of the angel. Now, many of us can say, "I've been a Christian virtually all of my life." You know, to have been a lifelong Christian should be reason to rejoice and celebrate the fact that God has made this great provision for our futures in his gift of Jesus Christ, his gift to us of Jesus Christ. Hence, Jesus sets his parable about the consummation of the kingdom in the context of a great banquet, a great celebration. But not everyone can boast of being a Christian for most of his or her life. Some of us have wandered in dark and strange places, yet before the Lord of grace touched us, before his mercy and love brought us into his light. But regardless of how long we've been Christians, our faith still should be a blessed and joyful thought for everyone who believes that Jesus Christ is God's salvation gift to us. You know, for all of us who actually see ourselves as blessed to be Christians, we are truly blessed if our faith, in that our faith is our invitation to God's great banquet. You know, the feast in the kingdom, or the wedding banquet for the Son of God. See, our invitation is implied in Jesus' words in Matthew 26, for instance, where Jesus speaks of the wine used in the Lord's Supper and says, "Until I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." You know, this is all the more wonderful for us when we notice how we received an invitation in the first place. You see, Jesus likens you and me to a bunch of country yokels. Oh, I suppose we are, if we're living up here in Toowoomba. Yes, we are. But doesn't, yeah, see, Jesus likens us to a bunch of country yokels. In the parable, we are those who lived along the roads and country lanes, who didn't at first receive an invitation to the feast. See, we can't even claim to be among the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame, you know, those who live in the streets and alleys of the town. These people come from the town's ghetto. You have to be a real down and outer to come from the ghetto. And many regard these folks as the lowest of the low. They don't make even the lowest rung on society's ladder. They don't rake even a glance from the rich and famous. But in God's scheme of things, our station is even lower than these Jewish outcasts. We belong on dusty roads and country lanes. Yes, and yes, we are the equivalent of country bumpkins, you know, clodhoppers, if you like, outside of the circle of influential and privileged Jews. You know, to be precise, we are Gentiles. We can't claim any pedigree that would allow us to enter God's kingdom. We were last to be invited to the feast, and that only when the first bunch was silly enough to pass up the invitation. See, we weren't invited initially, and yet, in God's grace, somehow we ended up being invited after all. And this is the sort of invitation that we can't claim to have received by the normal channels, as though we were deserving of it. This is why we have to be careful what we do with our invitation. Now, I'll just want to add a little bit more to that. You would have noticed as we were reading earlier that Jesus said Jesus put words in the master's mouth to those servants. He said, "Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in," you see. So it's not even a matter of being asked. God is going to make us come in. How do you like that for a bit of Calvinism, hey? God had to make us come in. And so you understand, because that's a situation that exists, that's where we fit into the picture. We have to be careful what we do with our invitation. And what if you had to admit, come on, fess up, that you've never really thought about being part of Christ's body, the church? What if most of the time you just take your Christian faith for granted? What if you don't regard God's invitation as any big deal? What if you forget about it the minute you leave church on Sundays? What if you do nothing with it during the week in the way of a plausible witness? And what if you're one of those who even has trouble remembering that you're supposed to have faith. That is, after a heavy Saturday night and in time for Sunday worship. Yes, what if? Well, I look at you folks and I would say, no, you're not numbered among those people. You know, you're keen churchgoers, so it probably doesn't apply to you. But just what if? Well, Pharisees and the like, you know, were taking their faith for granted. They thought God owed them a place of honour at the kingdom feast. And this presents a paradox. You know, one of those truths of the Christian faith that seem to contradict human logic. You know, the Pharisees and others were complacent about their invitation. Oh, they were comfortable about being invited, but their own complacency shut them out of the kingdom. I tell you, this is the words of Jesus, I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. And this is not because the Lord invites some in preference to others, or that he throws others out simply because he doesn't like them. Now, Jesus teaches us here that everyone gets to receive an invitation in some way or other. Ultimately, the invitation goes out even to country yokels like us, you see. We deserve to be invited even less than the poor, the crippled, the blind, lame beggars of Israel. And this ought to make us conscious of what it cost Jesus to organise invites for us. You know, as a result, the least we can do is to take our invitation, you know, that is our faith, that is to take our faith seriously. See, what makes us highly blessed in the first instance is that God, in his grace, has invited us to the wedding supper of the Lamb. God has invited us, folks, to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Yep. Now, secondly, you are blessed to eat at the feast. Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. You know, one of the beautiful things about Jesus' parables is that he doesn't beat about the bush. Oh, my wife often accuses me of beating about the bush. But let me tell you that Jesus doesn't. He uses very practical illustrations to explain what he means. Even country yokels like us can learn how not to shut ourselves out of the kingdom, to be not like the Pharisees who shut themselves out by failing to recognize the King of the kingdom. But without realizing it, you know, we too can act just as the Pharisees did. You know, Jesus points out some lame excuses that people try to use for being slap happy about their faith. Their excuses don't hold water. And the same excuses are just as lame today, let me tell you, as they were back then. Take the guy who bought a field. Well, Jesus isn't concerned that he bought a field. Now, the problem with this fellow is when he has to go and see it. You know, as if he would be silly enough to buy a field without already having seen it. You know, whatever the case may be, after buying his field, this guy would rather just enjoy being out in his field than give any real thought to his faith and any responsibilities that might attach to it. You'd have to say that his field is where his heart is, like it is for some of us with our sport, or I hope not fishing, no, or whatever else captures our attention. See, his field will still be there. I'm not talking about you. Now, his field will still be there. He can look at it any time. But now he lets a piece of outside recreation stand in the way of his responsibility to himself and to his church to be present at worship services, etc. Well, the same thing again with that yoke of oxen. Didn't the fellow try them before he bought them? Now, of course he did. Now he just wants to play with them, like some of us like to play with motor cars. I don't mean mechanics, okay? It can capture our fancy in the same way, you see. Eating up the bitumen can be more enjoyable. Eating up the bitumen can be more enjoyable than taking part in some church activity. Again, with the newly married man, he would rather stay at home than be giving up a few hours of his precious time for the sake of his place at the kingdom feast. Of course, we can understand this guy's just been married. Flip. He wouldn't want to stay home with his new wife. But the problem is not, you see, is not with the things that these people wanted to do. There's nothing wrong with any of these things in themselves. The problem lies in where these things sit in the order of our priorities. That's our problem still today. Where do our most important priorities in life lie? You see, it's not worth two peanuts, you know, to feel good about being invited to the supper, if at the same time you give little priority to being sure of your seat at the feast in the kingdom. It's absolutely useless, you know, to gain a dubious comfort from a supposed faith that allows you to take your salvation for granted. You have to resolve to take your faith seriously. You are a blessed person if you heard the invitation this morning to share in the Lord's Supper. You are a blessed person indeed if you responded to the invitation, knowing that you will eat, let me say that again, knowing that you will eat at the wedding supper in the kingdom, and that for no other reason than that you take Jesus Christ seriously. So people, as you go out into the world this week, please take Jesus Christ seriously. Will you do that? In his name, amen.